We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining us right now, the outstanding radio voice of the football Giants, who also does a great job on the senior tour or champions tour, whatever they call it in golf. And that, of course, is Bob Papa. Bob, how are you?
Joe, how's it going? Yeah, the PGA Tour champions. That's the name.
Yeah, that's what they call it now. Right. But you do a great job on that. You do, and even when they obviously when they use you on the regular PGA Tour stuff as well. But let's start. We got to start with Daniel Jones. I mean, Bob, we got to go right to it. I mean, the kid is. I know it's preseason. You know, it's preseason. But the kid has looked outstanding to this point. How about him?
Yeah, I mean, his presence is really good. We saw it last night, and we saw it in the other two preseason games where he's able to go through his progressions, and you know, he doesn't look overwhelmed. Even when some things went wrong last week, he had those mistakes with the fumbles against the Bears. He responded, he bounced back, he hung in there, he took a hit last night, got hit when he made the throw down in the corner to set up the go-ahead touchdown. Boy, his poise has really been impressive, but it's his ball placement that really is the thing that jumps out at you. He's wildly, I mean, not in a bad way, just tremendously accurate with where he puts the ball and always seems to have it in just the right spot.
You know, Bob, and I've been saying this all along, and obviously it's going to depend on what kind of record the Giants have. But I got to believe that there's going to be a short leash with Eli and that this kid's going to play sooner than later. I mean, it's their guy. It's Gettleman and Sherman's guy. I got to believe, you know, they really want this kid to play. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think they're excited about him, but I think if he doesn't play, that means that the team is having a
right.
good season.
Right.
And I think after all the losing that they've done, you know, with the exception of making the playoffs in 2016, which turned out to be an aberration, it's been a lot of bad football since they won their second Super Bowl. And I think they would much rather have to worry about this down the road and have a good season winning. The problem that you have here is that Eli Manning, who looks fantastic. I mean, he's got more zip on the ball. We've heard about Al Leiter's son's throwing coach and Eli changed his diet. And it really does look like he's turned back the clock a little bit. He may play great this year, but he still may wind up losing his job because Eli's job security depends on the other 11 or 15 guys on the other side of the ball. And that's the big question. Will they be able to stop people, even if the offense is performing well?
Well, one thing that the Giants have certainly upgraded is the offensive line, Bob. I mean, the couple guys that they brought in, Zeitler, Remmers, the two guys from last year that were, you know, on the left side with Solder and Hernandez, Jalapio at center. I mean, the offensive line has certainly, on paper anyway, certainly looks like it's going to be one of the strengths of this team now.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't. I don't think Eli got hit last night. The only hit was when he was downfield trying to throw a block.
Right, yes.
And, you know, we talk about Daniel Jones going through all his progressions, with the exception of a couple times where, there was pressure. Solder got beat. Hernandez got beat a couple times. The right tackle got beat. But for the most part, one of the reasons why we've been so impressed with Daniel Jones and his going through the progressions is because he's actually had time. I mean, I can't remember the last preseason where Eli Manning or any other quarterback on the Giants roster has had time to throw. If you look at the last couple of years, even in the preseason, when their starters were going against the other team's twos, it was like jailbreak. So this is like, it's almost like uncharted territory at this point.
Yeah, no, they've looked really good. Again, we're talking to the radio voice of the Giants, Bob Papa. Giants with their third, not that it matters that they won the game, but third preseason win of the year last night against Cincinnati. Daniel Jones looked very good again. How about the receivers, Bob? Because obviously Golden Tate's going to miss the first four games of the season with this suspension. Ingram, we know about Ingram, obviously a solid tight end. He's got to stay healthy. But how about the receiver position right now for the Giants?
Well, I mean, you're old enough to remember. But remember Red Holzman, I'm going to go to the Knicks.
Yep, go ahead.
But, you know, the Knicks of my youth, more the 73 team. I was a little young for the 69 team. But what was the mantra that he and Bill Bradley, find the open man?
Yep.
And that's the way the Giants played in the last five games of the season last year when Odell got hurt. Cody Latimer, Benny Fowler, you know, all these guys sort of stepped up and played roles and had roles and then just won their battles. And the quarterback was, they stabilized the O-line a little bit near the end of the year. And Eli was able to hit the open man, went through his progressions, and the ball went where the coverage dictated it to. It wasn't being forced anywhere. And I think that's what they're feeling this group is. There's no superstars here. There's no Odell Beckham Jr.'s. But with Evan Engram, who played well down the stretch of the end of the season last year, which is one of the reasons why they kept him kind of under bubble wrap here. They want to make sure he's healthy with Golden Tate facing that four-game suspension. I think it's going to be an ensemble cast, which is the way Pat Shurmur is going to scheme against other teams, and they're going to run their offense. And let's not forget, Saquon Barkley caught 91 balls last year.
Right.
He's part of the receiving game. So I think they've got enough until Tate gets back to play that complementary football and not feel like they have to get it to one guy and one guy early and get him involved early and all that other stuff.
You know, you look
now,
at the...
they don't have the explosiveness. I mean,
right.
You know, there is something to be said for throwing a 7-yard slant to Odell Beckham Jr. and he goes 80 yards. I mean, you know, but they don't have that now.
It's yeah,
a
well,
different way of doing it.
To me, it's the addition by subtraction that Beckham's gone, but that's me. You know, let's see him actually win something with the Browns. Again, we're talking to Bob Poppett, a great radio voice of the Giants. I think the offense will be pretty good, Bob, but the other side of the ball is really going to be the big issue. A lot of young guys. This kid Zimenez, this kid that I think he was a third-round draft choice. I forget where they picked him. Boy, he's looked pretty darn good coming off the edge. You had some good moments last night in this game.
Yeah, you know, my co-host at SiriusXM NFL Radio is Charlie Weiss, and his son is on Lane Kiffin's staff at Florida Atlantic.
Right.
And they played against Old Dominion the last couple of years. And Coach Weiss told me when the Giants selected him, he said, you know, I think they got a really good player there. My son had, you know, nightmares trying to game plan how to stop him. Now, obviously, you're stepping up in weight class. You're going against NFL players. You're going against grown men. And there's a learning curve. But, boy, they got to get somebody, whether it's Marcus Golden, who had 12.5 sacks a couple of years ago for Arizona, who's, you know, still working his way back from that knee injury, or it's Lorenzo Carter. Somebody's got to become a force because, you know, if you go against these veteran quarterbacks that they're going to play this year, whether it's Rodgers or, you know, any of these vet Brady, they got to play this regular season, those guys invite the blitz. They want the blitz. Eli wants the blitz because they can decipher what you're doing. So how can they get pressure without having to bring the kitchen sink? And it really starts on their ability to control first down and second down. Last year they gave up too many yards on first down. And if an NFL team is in 3rd and 3, you're dead. The quarterbacks just get the ball out of their hands too quickly. 3rd and 6, 3rd and 7 is when Betcher can dial up his stuff. But at certain points, you can't bring the house. Who's going to be that guy that steps up? There's no Strahan. There's no Tuck. There's no OC. There's no early JPP on this team. So that's a big question mark.
How about the kid Lawrence, the kid out of Clemson? What about him so far?
Well, I mean, he's a good player. I mean, he's really active inside. He made a move last night against, you know, starting offensive linemen.
Right.
I mean, he just moved two people and showed a burst and a quick step to slice right in there. But, you know, it's a learning curve for these guys. Again, he's playing against grown men who know all the tricks in the trade. They know how to get away with holding. So he's going to be learning. But as far as his progression, they're really pleased with how he's progressing.
You know, it looks good, too, this kid Ballantyne, the kid in the secondary. He actually looks like you got something with him.
Yeah, in our TV production meetings with Coach Shurmur on the morning of the games, and he constantly refers to Corey Ballantyne. He goes, look, he goes, I know they're all guys playing football. He goes, but certain guys are just football players. And this kid is got an intelligent football IQ. He goes, he just kind of gets the game. He understands the flow of it. He sees things. Now, there's things he's got to work on, but when you think about what he's overcome, losing his best friend after the highest moments of being drafted, and then having to come back from the injury that he sustained and never missing a beat in his preparation through the spring and now into the summer, kind of is a window into his soul of what kind of person he is.
How do you see the Giants? Give me a feel for what you think this team is going to be. You think they're going to be better than people realize this year? I mean, what do you think?
If the offensive line stays healthy, and if Evan Engram can stay relatively healthy during the season, and there's no catastrophic injuries, they're going to put up a lot of points. Now, do you remember that 2015 team, one of the worst defenses in the history of the Giants? Going back to that season, the Giants have lost a league-high 18 games when they've had the lead with 2 minutes or less. Mm. That means that Eli has given the team the lead with 2 minutes to go, and the defense has either not held it or they've not been able to execute their own four-minute offense and run the game out. They should be able to do that a little bit better in 2019 because this offensive line has improved, and they'll be able to grind some things out. Listen, I think this is a team, when we turn the calendar to December, I think the Giants are a team that will be right in the mix for one of these NFC wild card spots. Will they finish the deal? I don't know. If the pass rush that they're counting on comes to fruition, they got a fighting chance. But I think they're going to be a much more exciting and a much more competitive team in 2019. And I would expect them to be in wild card conversation as you get down to those final three or four games, and then who knows what happens from there, if they're good enough to get in or not.
So with that said, then you feel that we will not see Jones take over as the quarterback this year?
Not until they're mathematically eliminated, I don't think. Because if they're mathematically still alive when we get to December, that means Eli's playing well,
right,
and the offense
right.
is scoring. Because this team isn't built to win, like, you know, defensively. It's not like this team is going to go out there and they're going to be winning games 12-9. The way they're going to win games is they're going to have to score a lot of points and then play good enough defense. So that means that Eli is going to be playing really well. And maybe it's a little bit like 2011. If you remember, the Giants' defense was not good during that regular season. And up until the end of the season, the last two games against the Jets and Cowboys, the Giants were ranked 30th in rushing that year. It was all about Eli, Victor Cruz, and Akeem Nicks. And maybe they need to dial that up this season in order for them to stay in the race late, and then you never know what happens in December.
I still got a hemorrhoid from that Jet game, the Victor Cruz game. I could see it now. I could see Victor Cruz right now, as the immortal Kyle Wilson misses the tackle on about the 5-yard line, sprinting 90-whatever yards down the sideline, and my team has still yet not recovered from that game.
And then Bradshaw, I think, running over Eric Smith at the end to put the exclamation point on it.
Great memory for me, by the way. And
It was a good Christmas Eve for me because I had one of my cousins from Long Island over who was a hardcore Jet fan. So it was when I finally got home for Christmas Eve dinner. It was kind of funny.
And one of the stupidest things that my franchise ever did, covering up those Super Bowl trophies. That was a brilliant move by my franchise. But I don't want to get into that. I do one thing, though, I got to throw at you here, because I was a little upset, and I don't know if you heard about this or not, but I got to bring it up now that we got the Jets. We're talking Jets here a little bit. I was a little upset the opening preseason game, and I understand that you and Carl got to do it from a Giant point of view, but on a game where there was no Jet, you know, it wasn't like I could go to another station and watch the Jet point of view of the game. You know, there was not a lot of, you know, like, cause for guys that we don't even know who the hell these guys are, there wasn't a lot of giving me that information from the Jets side. How about that, Bob?
Well, when the Jets do the telecast, do they give the
nitty-gritty
on the... No, they don't.
Okay, all right.
But now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
The guys that produce the game are the Fox A-team guys, Richie Zion, Rich Russo, and Rich Gross. They do the Aikman-Buck game. We had, I can't, how many times did we show the Sam Darnold highlights of what he did? We showed a Joe Namath quote talking about Sam Darnold. We showed Joe Namath in overtime beating the Giants in the Yale Bowl. We dusted off that clip.
I understand.
We talked about Greg Williams ad infinitum. We even showed his coaching tree and where he's been. We talked about their new offensive line and what they did, and talked about the great signing of Khalil and how that's going to help, and the trade for Kelechi Osemele. I mean, I thought we got quite a bit of Jet stuff in there, including my love affair with Quincy Enunwa.
Well, but it wasn't that aspect of it. It was the guys that I don't know. Like, I'm watching the game in the third quarter, and these guys are not who the hell are these guys? You know, making plays for the Jets or making a tackle or missing a tackle or getting beat for a pass or whatever. And I don't know who these guys are. I mean, I don't have a roster in front of me. And it was more that you're not telling us who these guys were. I know Donald and all the starters. Those were the guys. You know what? You understand what I mean, Bob?
Yeah, but at that point, when you're getting into the nitty-gritty of the third and fourth parts of the thing, yeah, it's going to be a little bit more Giants-centric because it's the Giants right. telecast. And next year, when it's the Jets telecast, you can rest assured that in that sort of garbage time, the Jet broadcast is going to be much more focused on potential guys to make the Jets roster than they're going to be worrying about Giants guys, because that's not what their focus is.
See, what they should allow to happen for these preseason games, okay? And it's preseason, I mean, really, but what they should allow to happen is they should have both the, you know, Iron Eagle, who I think who does most of the Jet stuff in the preseason, and you, and you know, both of you doing it. You know, let's have the Jet doing it, a Jet broadcast and a Giant broadcast separate. I don't know why they don't allow that to happen, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, I think it's kind of gone this way.
I think because
whoever's televising it, you're When only one outfit does it, right?
Right, right.
You're getting the Giant fan and the Jet fan. So
right.
You're getting
That's the point.
Best possible rating.
Right, right.
So if you split it, then both teams kind of lose out a little bit on the rating. Because now you're going to...
I understand.
The game's going to be on Channel 2 and Channel 4 at the same time. You're kind of splitting the rating. So, I don't know. Who knows what they're going to do? That is so far above my pay grade.
No, of course.
I don't even want to weigh in on it.
Bob, I'm not. Look, it's not you. I'm just throwing it out there from a Jet fan. That was the only access I had to this game was you guys. You know what I'm saying? That's the only.
I thought we talked a lot about Trevor Siemian and how a good pickup that was.
He was good, but again, Trevor Siemian, I know who he is. You know what I mean? You understand?
How about the fourth quarterback? The fourth quarterback's better than Davis Webb. We talked about him.
How bad is Davis Webb? Oh my God!
And just think, there were some people that said he was Eli's heir apparent.
Well, still, they should have played him. And when they decided to end Eli's streak, people would have handled it a lot better if it was Davis Webb and not Geno Smith. I'll tell you that.
Well, yeah, Geno.
It still doesn't make sense to me, Bob. I look at that now, and I don't know whose real decision it was, you know, whether it was McAdoo's decision, whoever's real decision it was. That wasn't exactly the – it would have been a lot easier for the Giant fan to digest it if it would have been the kid instead of Geno Smith.
Well, my guess is some of those people were that made the decision, like Geno Smith, maybe a lot more than people realize.
I guess. And I guess the guys that made the decision outside of the owner are gone anyway, right? So there you go.
Yeah. Trust me, I don't think the owner was thinking Geno Smith was going to be the starter either.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't think so, that's for sure. Bob, it's always a pleasure. You do a great job. You and Carl do a terrific job on the radio, and we'll talk to you as the season goes on, all right?
Dude, how's your golf game this year?
My golf game could and should be a lot better than it is. I'm playing a lot. It's not as good as it should be. I still make too many mistakes that make me crazy, Bob, to be honest with you.
That's why you love the game.
That's why I love the game. But we all come back for that one moment. You know what I'm saying? That one shot, that one great shot we hit. You know, so what can I tell you? I do have a hole in one. It was 3 years ago. I have been able to do that. So that's something.
I've never had one.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, like I always say, anybody could do it. If I could do it, Bob, God knows anybody can. And I'm sure you're a lot better golfer than I am. And there's a lot of guys who are much better golfers than me that don't have one. So at least they can't take that away from me. You know what I mean, Bob?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Whenever people talk about the hole in one, I'm like, hey, do you ever have one? I'm like, nah. Everybody's got the war stories. It's like going fishing and the one you almost caught.
Right, 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 right.
But
I do have
a double eagle.
I do have a
double eagle.
A double eagle?
I wing foot on the 12th hole on the West Course.
Wow.
So I got a double eagle. It was witnessed by a whole bunch of people.
All right, well, let me ask you. So how far was the shot? Because obviously you got a double eagle, so you got a two on a five. How far was the shot that you put in the hole with the second shot?
236 yards.
And what'd you hit, a 5-wood?
I hit a 3-wood, bounced it in there. Here's the funny part. I'm playing in the Fordham University
right.
foundation outing. I'm
okay.
playing with then head coach. I'm playing with Bob Hill.
Right, right,
and
right.
So there's people out there watching. And
Bob Hill, the old I'm Nick playing. Coach. That's the old Nick
yeah.
coach. Right, right.
And he was the coach of Fordham.
Right.
So I'm playing really well, but I hadn't hit my three wood well for weeks. But I'm about, because you've got to play your own ball in this event. It wasn't a scramble.
Right, okay.
So I'm like, I'm only a couple over par. And the caddy says, hey, hit your three wood here. You're really swinging well. So me and my three wood have, we're in a bad place. I haven't used it once today for obvious reasons.
Goes, right.
Just hit it. So I hit it. Now the group in front is just putting out. The ball lands in front of the green as they're walking off the green. Because I never thought I'd get it there. I figured
sure.
I'd hook it in the woods or something. Hit it straight. It bounces up. The caddy is walking. And he puts the flag stick in. And he stops. And he must have heard or saw the ball rolling up. And he just stays frozen. And the ball went through his legs and in. And he just looks down the fairway and points like, dunk, it's in.
Wow. That's something. That's you know what? That's pretty good, Bob. That's pretty damn good.
And the, you know, because they're such first-class people at Wingfoot, the pro staff there got the golf ball. They mounted my scorecard on a Wingfoot plaque. They mounted
wow.
the golf ball. So even though I don't have a hole in one, I got the double eagle at Wingfoot.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And of course, Wingfoot next year will be the U.S. Open there next year, right? At Wingfoot.
Yeah, there'll be no double eagles during the U.S. Open. I can feel pretty certain about that.
You never know with these guys. You never know. That's for sure, Bob. Bob, it's always a pleasure talking to you, and we'll talk to you as the season goes on. All right.
You got it, my man.
All right, be good, Bob Papa. Of course, the great radio voice of the Giants.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.